Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not gonna do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Yeah. This is Wretched Radio. I gave up the fight already. Gonna do it. Gonna do what talk show hosts are kind of inclined to do somewhat regularly, and that is beat the horse to pieces. You find yourself a hobby horse, you jump on it, and you ride it into the ground because it happens to be a personal peccadillo. Well, I got myself one, and at the risk of beating the horse to death, let's talk about riding horses. That's right. Martin Luther once said that the Christian life is a lot like a drunk man who gets onto a horse, falls off the right side, gets back up, falls off the left side. It is only for one brief shining moment we seem to find the balance. Otherwise, we're careening from one side of the horse to the other. And at the risk of beating the horse, wow, this is really turned into an equine program. Would like to share with you what I believe is one of the most, I don't mean this perhaps as dastardly as it might sound, but I think it's one of the most insidious problems that we have in conservative evangelical Christianity, because it's sneaky, it's high-minded, and it seems really, really right. And while I believe that this particular plague has accomplished much good in correcting some of the imbalances that we have seen in Big Eva, I can't help but think we perhaps careened too far to the other side. The subject about which I speak is preaching. That's right. Preaching, I think, has a problem in conservative circles. You say, wait a second, we love expository preaching. Ditto, so do I. But expository preaching that doesn't have a higher aim than mere education, I think, is simply deficient. And it is an actual overcorrection to some of the imbalances that we've seen that come out of Big Eva. These self-help talks, these TED Talks that are known as sermons, life hack presentations, using a Bible verse just barely as a drive-by nod to those people who still read their Bibles. And then they go on to share the pastor's thoughts about how to fill in the blank, how to manage your money, how to raise your kids, how to be a good neighbor, how to get ahead in the world, how to advance in society. And those are just life hacks with maybe a Bible verse connected to them. And we conservatives saw that and went, that's a problem, because that is a teaching that is based on a man and not on the teachings of Jesus Christ. We've seen that injustice, and we said, we got to do better, and we latched on to expository preaching. And that is good, and that is right, because our preaching, it needed some beefing up. And we've done that. But is it possible that we've done it to the point where we've overcorrected? If you were a part of the Loverly webinar that we presented last week, it was on the subject of fallen pastors. These were pastors assembling to talk about fallen pastors and how we can learn from it, how we can respond to it, and how we can perhaps heal from it. And our fellows here at Fortis Institute joined us, and it was a presentation where each one of the guys tackled a particular aspect of fallen pastors. And what I brought to the table was the subject of preaching that doesn't lead us to love Jesus more. Now, as soon as you hear that, I know you, because I am you. Because I am you. There it is. I think I found my note. That's sort of like most people who sing the national anthem at football games. I understand. You hear that and you go, oh, no, you're going to become hyper Gracie. Well, that too would be going way too far with what I'm suggesting. I'm not suggesting that we careen back to the other ditch. What I'm suggesting is that our preaching that is loaded with academics actually falls short. If its goal is not for the hearers to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if that is the greatest commandment, shouldn't that be the aim of our preaching? Don't get me wrong. I understand the text dictates what is taught about, but I would offer to you that there is not a text in the Bible that can't help us love God more, that can't help us to grow in our awe of God, and simultaneously can help us grow in our fear, a correct fear, not a trembling knee knocking, it's the Wizard of Oz kind of fear. No, but a fear that says our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God. Nah, that would never be a hit. We need to have a bigger understanding of God as he reveals himself in the person of Jesus Christ so that we can learn rightly about him, but not stop there. That's not where preaching should end. It shouldn't stop with, you just learned a lot of stuff. It should end with, whoa, God is incredible. And I think that perhaps at this time in the history of conservative evangelicalism, I think we need to turn our attention to that. And I know I've brought up this subject a number of times, and I know I talked about this at the webinar, but I do believe that it is worth spending a little more time on because we had a very limited amount of time at that webinar. If you joined us, thank you for that. We've got another webinar coming up, by the way, this Thursday night. Andrew Walker and Tom Buck, they have slightly different takes on the election and how an evangelical could, should vote or not vote. And they're going to discuss it. And they're going to be gentlemen because, well, they are gentlemen, so that we can sort it. That's what this Thursday's webinar is intended to be about. We're not going to do these every Thursday. We're simply going to do these webinars when we think that there is a subject that affects all of us. And certainly this election, it affects all of us. And we're going to talk about it because, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on. And this is just a new decade and a new era and new considerations for evangelicals to ponder. So we're going to do that this Thursday night. It'll be at fortisinstitute.org/webinar. We might be doing it on YouTube. If you are subscribed to our newsletter, if you're a Fortis insider, or you gave us your name and address to get all of the free content at the new Fortis app, you'll hear about it. And we're going to gather to talk just like we did this last Thursday. And I would like to, if and you don't mind, spend more time talking about the doctrine that I believe will correct a potential imbalance in our preaching. Furthermore, I believe it will help you to sin less without becoming hyper Gracie. Because we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen hyper-grace preachers fall. So for me to offer a corrective, what I believe is a needed corrective, which leads us to hyper-grace, which is an abuse of grace. It's basically we're the choir that sings Romans 6:1. We're going to go on sinning because grace is so gracey. And we got so much grace. And God just, when we sin real bad, he just forgives us. That's true. But when that message is used to promote, well, doesn't promote overtly, but I think rather subtly promotes licentiousness, grace abuse, well, then we got ourselves a problem. But here's exactly where I think we fall off the horse. When we take a look at a corrective, we see the danger of an overcorrective, and therefore we don't correct. And that's a problem. What I'm saying is this is risky business. And that's why we need someone/something to help us find that balance. And the one who helps us find that balance is the one who is building his church, Jesus Christ. He helps us with this. And the Christian life, it isn't this or that most times. It can be a lot of times, but not all the time, certainly. It's not either this type of preaching or that type of preaching. Could be both mixed together. It might not be this doctrine versus that. How focused are we on sanctification? And the answer is a lot. And that's good, isn't it? But I would ask you a question. Have we considered definitive sanctification versus progressive sanctification? That while we go about the business of progressively becoming sanctified, we already totally are because of definitive sanctification. You go, hold it a second, pal. What you're going to do is you're going to promote that sin might abound even more. No, not doing that. What I'm saying is we need to find our balance. And I believe that there is a doctrine that will help us do that, perhaps more than any other doctrine. And I would ask you the question, even as I tell you what it is, when was the last time you heard this doctrine talked about at all? What is that doctrine? The doctrine of adoption. Next on Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We've rebranded, if you haven't noticed, but our commitment to God's unchanging word remains rock solid. Inspired by 1 Corinthians 15:58, we are here to equip you with uncompromising biblical truth delivered with grace and kindness. With Fortis Plus, our free app, you'll get 7 new pieces of content every single day. That's hundreds of hours of content to fortify your faith. But wait, there's more. Become a Fortis Insider at no cost, of course. Just give us your email and 5 days a week, we'll send you daily videos and podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, plus invitations to exclusive events like our webinars. And don't miss the hot takes from our fellows on current issues or Gary Varvel's weekly cartoons that are guaranteed to be funnier than any dad joke Jimmy has ever told. Todd wrote that line. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures. His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A doctrine greater than justification? How can it be? This is Wretched Radio. Thomas Watson, a dead Puritan for whom most folks have a great deal of respect, said, adoption is a greater mercy than justification. Whoa. We love justification. We're Protestants. That's the doctrine over which the Protestant Reformation was fought. It was a doctrine. There were a lot of them. There were, it was sort of like World Wars I or II. There were a lot of fronts in the Protestant Reformation. Yes, grace alone. That was a biggie. You could argue that was the biggie, but so was authority. Is it the Bible? Is it the Pope? Is it the Magisterium? Is it tradition? Who is the authority in this clambake we call the church? How's about the Mass? That was a huge issue. Really? A man is going to summon Jesus down from the throne to have him re-sacrificed on the altar where the elements actually become body and blood, which clearly they actually don't? There were many skirmishes that were being fought during the Protestant Reformation. Justification? Glorious. It is a diamond doctrine. But Thomas Watson said adoption is even greater. So you would do well, I would do well to study this doctrine. And I would contend that if we focus at least some on the doctrine of adoption, it might be a corrective to some imbalanced preaching and to some imbalanced teaching. That the overcorrection for squishy, life-hacky, TED Talk-like sermons has been corrected. It's been overcorrected with a lot of data dumps, a lot of surgical dissecting of scripture, with the end being we get to know more theology. But I would suggest to you the proper goal of a sermon is not, please hear this again, the proper goal of a sermon is not knowledge. I think knowledge is the mechanism that helps us to reach the goal, which is what? What should the goal of a sermon be? Well, what is the goal of the Christian life? What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If that's the greatest commandment, shouldn't preaching serve to help us achieve that goal? The teaching, the knowledge, it should bring us to that place. But that should not be the actual destination of a sermon. It needs to be that we love God more. Thomas Watson, in adoption, we are brought into the household of God where we enjoy the same love that the Father has for his eternal Son, Jesus Christ. John Flavel, by adoption, we are made co-heirs with Christ, partakers of the same household of faith, and sharers in the same family love and blessings. This was just a part of the presentation that I did last Thursday for our Fortis Institute webinar. The doctrine of adoption is perhaps the doctrine that the Puritans celebrated the most. And whilst I'm pretty certain there were some Puritan preachers who disqualified themselves from ministry, go ahead, Google them, use your AI machine. You aren't going to find them. I couldn't find any record of any Puritans who took a tumble. Now, these are the Puritans. These are the ones that you think, well, they were the stern. They were the academicians. They were the ones who were into purity. But they loved the doctrine of adoption. Why? Because it's in the Bible a lot. Consider all of the family language. You want to do something, read in your Bible, go read all the family language about God's relationship with his people. We have become the children of God, John 1:12, Romans 8:15. We've been adopted as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Father, Romans 8:16. We are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Ephesians 1, we've been adopted. 1 John 3, 1, 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, we are God's children now. That is warm language. That's familial language. That's relational language. That is safe language. And that is the language that I think we need to hear more of, not all of. Because we don't want to overcorrect and fall into another ditch called hyper grace. Don't want to do that. But we don't want to ignore this glorious doctrine. Now, do we? The doctrine of adoption, it is provided for us in the doctrine of justification. Justification, in other words, has a greater end. Justification should be celebrated. Our sins are forgiven, but what does it accomplish beyond that? It brings us into a right relationship with God. I think we talked about this last week, Romans 4:22. The justification, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was raised for our justification. And then Paul continues with an unfortunate chapter break in Romans 5:1. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what justification does. It brings you into a peaceful relationship with God, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and we celebrate in hope of the glory of God. We celebrate this, that God actually has reconciled you to himself, and you're not over there on a shelf. You have been introduced to God. You have been brought into his presence. You are now a son or daughter of the living God. That is your relationship with God. Have you heard that lately? The word that I think I used on the webinar, and I get it, it can have some impassibility dangers, but nevertheless, maybe you've heard this, you've heard God loves you a lot. And that's good, and that is right. But what if I said to you, God likes you? God likes you. Not because of you, not because of your wit or your business skills, whatever it is that you possess that's perhaps exceptional. But that's the way that he is. He's actually warm toward you. When was the last time you heard that? When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law so that, in order to, in a clause, we might receive adoption as sons. Now watch what it does for us. These are the Puritans. It, number one, motivates sanctification. John Owen, adoption is a fountain of unspeakable mercies in that it gives us a new relationship to God as children to a father, and thus encourages us in our progress in holiness. In other words, what you need to advance in holiness is to know that you're in the family of God. Please note, I do believe we need to maintain a correct fear of God, that we might fear his love. He separated our sins as far as the east is from the west, so that we might fear him. He's an awesome God. He's otherly. This is not a servile fear. It is a reverential fear. We don't lose that, because sometimes that's going to curb us from sinning. I don't want to receive the refiner's fire. I don't want to go through that. So I'm not going to commit this sin. That's good. That's right. That's proper. But the Puritans would say it's adoption that is really the rocket fuel. By adoption, we are made heirs of heaven. This is William Gurnall. And it is this identity that fuels our striving against sin and our growth in grace. John Flavel, the spirit of adoption works holiness in the soul by continually reminding us of our filial, our family relationship to God. And this becomes a powerful motive to sanctification. Jeremiah Burroughs, the more we comprehend our adoption, the more we are drawn into deeper sanctification, for it leads us to live as children of a holy God. Note this also, the doctrine of adoption helps us find our balance. Richard Sibbes, justification frees us from wrath, but adoption brings us into the family of God, where sanctification progresses. This stops us from either resting in the law or neglecting the pursuit of holiness. So that would be licentiousness, lawlessness. Thomas Goodwin, adoption keeps us from legalism by securing our identity as children of God. Yet it compels sanctification because we desire to reflect the holiness of our Father. Samuel Rutherford, adoption assures us of God's love, guarding us from the despair of legalism. Yet it propels us into sanctification, for the spirit of adoption works holiness in all who are truly born of God. Stephen Charnock, adoption keeps the believer balanced between justification and sanctification. It prevents antinomianism as true children of God seek holiness and it counters legalism as we rest in our Father's love. Pastor, is it possible your preaching needs a little balancing? Christian, is it possible your walk could use that same adjustment? Let's be aware of the ditches. Let's be aware there's another side of the horse off of which we can fall. But we will not neglect these glorious doctrines because some hacks have abused them. Jesus Christ has justified us that we might be adopted. Amazing. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, our top story comes from several states where voters are about to decide on legalizing marijuana. And we're not talking about just a little weed here. THC levels, they've skyrocketed in recent years from 2% in the 90s to up to 95% in some products today. I mean, is this really what our communities need right now? Now get this, a lead psychologist at that controversial Tavistock Hospital Trust, you know, the home of the famous gender clinic for kids, well, this guy has pled guilty to grooming a schoolboy. But here's the kicker, he's still free to practice psychology. You know, when pedophiles are getting slaps on the wrist and people posting mean tweets are getting jail time, you know there is seriously something wrong going on. And speaking of something wrong going on, to California now, where a social justice academy being run by a school district is teaching elementary kids to disavow whiteness and embrace transgender ideology. Look, it's been a long time since I've been in third grade or have had a kid in third grade, but I don't remember it being a crash course for critical race theory or gender studies. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought kids that age were a little bit more concerned with recess than reimagining society. Virginia now, a school board is paying out nearly $600,000 to a teacher who was fired for not using transgender pronouns. Peter Vlaming, who taught in the district for 7 years, refused to use pronouns inconsistent with a student's biological sex. You know, being honest and forthright. Some concerning news now, only 35% of evangelicals think they're ready to share biblical truths, according to a new poll. Look, Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, wait until you're ready. And I get the apprehension, but teach what you know while also continuing to learn. Don't allow fear to hinder you from sharing your faith. To Ohio now, where a school district has dropped an off-campus Bible lesson program for students. The Westerville City Board had voted to rescind the policy, which allowed around 300 children to receive Christian instruction off campus. This wasn't even happening on the school grounds, but they still felt the need to shut it down. I mean, when schools start to micromanage what kids are learning off campus, maybe it's time to start asking the question, who's really in charge of your children's education? And finally, let's end with a bit of encouraging news. U.S. Pastor David Lin has returned home after nearly 17 years of wrongful detention in China. That's encouraging, but also let's remember to keep praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Hey, if you want more, make sure you download Fortis Plus or sign up to be a Fortis Insider for exclusive content. You can do that right now at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1793. William Carey sails as a missionary to India. In the next 40 years, he would oversee more Bible translations than had previously been produced in all of Christian history.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So confusing. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I'm totally confused here. I do not understand what is going on. My understanding was that Kamala Harris is running against the current incumbent, Donald Trump. Furthermore, she is going to initiate policies that are different than the current presidency because she's not actually a part of it. Mm-hmm. Kind of confused about all of this.
There have obviously been a number of crises that the country has been facing over the past several days with the hurricane, with the port strike, with the situation in the Middle East. Can you talk about how your vice president, who is running for the presidency, has worked on these crises and what role she has played over the past several days?
Wait a second. That may be clear. If this guy is right. So let me get this straight. Joe Biden is the current president and Kamala Harris is the vice president? Because I didn't think they had anything to do with each other.
Well, I'm in constant contact with her. She's aware we're singing from the same song sheet. She helped pass all the laws that are being employed now. Oh. She was a major player in everything we've done.
Huh?
Including passage of legislation which we were told we could never pass. And so she's been, and her staff is interlocked with mine in terms of all the things we're doing.
Oh, my head is just going to crack open like a melon. Who can keep such things straight? Here's another source of confusion. You got yourself Evangelicals for Harris. Well, wait a second. Isn't she the one who wants even late-term abortion? And you say, wait a second, Pally Boy. It's Mr. Pally Boy to you. I saw the debate. She said there's no such thing as late-term abortion. On occasion, don't you love the internet? This is TikToker woman. She's going to call an abortion clinic to see if she can get one of them their unheard of late-term abortions. Prepare to be aghast.
All right, calling the CARE Clinic in Bethesda, Maryland. I am looking to have an abortion.
How long are you?
I'm 34 right now. I am in a pretty desperate situation. My boyfriend is kind of out of the picture now, so I don't really have any support.
An abortion at any stage is actually much safer than delivering a term pregnancy.
It's
a 4 to 5 day procedure. We do some basic lab work on you and start to dilate your cervix. After that, we do what we call the fetal injection. A needle is inserted through the abdomen and into the fetal heart where...
And thank you for ordering Arby's. If you'd simply pull up in the line, we'll be happy to take care of you. Woman sounds so pleasant. She could be your neighbor. And what she is about to describe is wicked, evil. And you should ask the question, why is it she's describing each one of these medications? What's the reason she's reading this script that's littered with medicinal language?
Lidocaine is injected, and that will completely numb the fetus, so there's no pain.
Who cares if there's pain? Do we do that for a mole removal?
And then after that, we inject a medication called digoxin and another medication called KCL.
I'll tell you what they're doing. They're making it sound like, hey, we've got this sorted. We're medical professionals. Don't worry. This is just a little trip to the doctor's office, littered with medicinal language to give the impression that this is not the wicked procedure that it is.
The fetal heart, which will slow and then stop the fetal heartbeat. And on that fourth day, depending on how your cervix is dilated, we'll break your water and then we'll give you a medication called misoprostol. Misoprostol will sort of induce contraction and increase the dilation of your cervix.
You can trust these people. Listen to the big words they're using.
You're going to have contractions and cramping, and then we'll assist you in sort of pushing in the induction and then remove all of the products of conception.
Jimmy, do you have any products of conception at home?
Three of them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we could just call them human beings,
That's right.
You're definitely going to feel discomfort and cramping and a lot of pressure, but we do give you fentanyl and Versed during the procedure.
Fentanyl. Got plenty of that in this country these days. By the way, I heard Kamala Harris, she's going to build the wall and make Mexico pay for it. That's the latest policy.
We specialize specialize in later trimester care. Our doctor is very well versed in what he's doing and he's very good.
So I'm not like a rare situation. Y'all help women this late in pregnancy all the time.
All the time.
All the time. Have you seen the woman? She gives speeches in controlled environments on university campuses. She's a pro-lifer, but she also apparently does pro-life open-air preaching.
We're going to call the abortion facility, and I'm going to tell them I'm pregnant with a 32-week fetus, as you say.
There's a woman who's standing up to heckle her, basically, saying there's no such thing as late-term abortions.
Hi, I just turned 32 weeks pregnant. Am I able to come in for an abortion ASAP?
I wouldn't be able to.
Can I still have an abortion at 34 weeks?
Just an intake.
Sure, at 5 minutes. Yeah, I just found out that she could have Down syndrome. I can still have the abortion, right, even though she has Down syndrome?
Yeah, so we just have to do an intake because the doctor...
It doesn't matter.
That's late-term abortion, ma'am. That's late abortion in the 8th month of pregnancy that's discriminatory based on someone's genetic code. She just confirmed she would commit an abortion on me with my child who's viable and can live outside the womb.
That's a simple phone call away reveals the truth. Evangelicals for Harris. What is behind this movement where presumably over 250,000 people are subscribing to Evangelicals for Harris? People like David French, Ray Ortland, certainly Russell Moore, believe that Donald Trump is such a bad person, we have to vote for somebody with absolutely hideous policies. Do you hear the category confusion? They believe that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Therefore, we have to vote for somebody who's a radical pro-abort, who is willing to pay so that children can be mutilated, and she is willing to have the federal government pay so that prisoners, murderers, can have sex reassignment surgery. This is category confusion. Their policies are evil, but it is done under the guise of saving democracy. And this is a subject that I believe we're going to talk about Thursday night on our webinar with Andrew Walker and Tom Buck. This will be a Fortas Institute presentation, Fortas Institute / webinar. The issue of pragmatism or consequentialism, if you prefer. How does a Christian sort through voting for somebody? Can we overlook present policies because of somebody's really bad personality in order to pragmatically, hopefully, save democracy? And I would say absolutely not, because that is hoping the overlooking something that is evil in order to accomplish something that we perceive to be good. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Hey, wait a second. The other guy, he ain't so hot on the life issue either. And I absolutely affirm that. He's not. In fact, did you hear the video his wife put out?
Yep.
She's basic, hey, this is a woman's right, and I'm going to fight for this thing. Her husband has given up the fight. He's clearly okay with 15 weeks over the course of the weekend. NBC News reporting that J.D. Vance, who has completely sold out his former pro-life creds, he has torn up that sheet and thrown it away. Sorry. And he said that this administration, the Trump administration, would defund Planned Parenthood. And I say, yay for that. Unfortunately, he said that this administration will not fund late-term abortions. So they want to get rid of Planned Parenthood. Well, as they quickly reported, there's the majority are not late-term. But I would simply reject any of those rather arbitrary markers. It doesn't matter what week it is. It is a human being. It is totipotent. It has everything needed at conception to be a full human being, totally matured. You're just immature in the womb. That's all. Just like you're immature when you're 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. And well, I guess it's up to 35 now. So their policies are by no means pristine. But they're not nearly as wicked as the policies of Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris, who said that she used her power to forward the trans agenda. There's just a difference here. It's not the stark difference that we'd like. It's not the black and white that we would prefer. But I think we need to be mindful of category errors. There's a difference in seeing the problem with somebody's personality and considering that, which we should when we vote, with confusing personality with policies. Besides, I'm not sure the personality of either one of the president or the vice president are all that pleasant, to be honest. I think we were called brain dead by the president if we don't believe in global warming. Hey, that's not a nice tweet. Well, it's a bad personality, but more troubling are the policies. Hopefully you'll be able to tune in this Thursday night, a Fortas Institute webinar to discuss these issues with some guys who are a lot smarter than me is, which is precisely why we are now Fortas Institute. Don't miss the webinar, fortasinstitute.org/webinar. Did I mention it's free? This is Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, they're beautiful gifts from God, are they not? But let's be honest, they're also challenging. In this world that we're living in right now, many families are struggling just to survive. But what if you and your family could truly thrive? Introducing Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, a new production from Fortas Institute. Pastor Brad Bigney brings over 30 years of pastoral experience and 36 as a biblical counselor to help your family flourish. With Thrive, you'll discover how marriage can be more than just legal status. It can be a living billboard for the gospel. Whether you're newlyweds, busy parents, or empty nesters, Thrive offers biblical insight to revolutionize your home life. Pastor Brad Bigney doesn't just offer quick fixes. He applies the wisdom of God's word to your daily walk, helping you build a family that, again, doesn't just survive, it thrives. Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now at fortasinstitute.org or the Fortas Plus app. fortasinstitute.org.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the true vine. The Old Testament describes Israel as a vine planted in the desert. Jesus is the true vine, and those who trust in him are grafted in to receive life and nourishment from Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Evangelicals for Satan, so we can save evangelicalism. What in the world are you talking? This is Wretched Radio, Evangelicals for Harris, in order to save democracy. That would be akin to Evangelicals for Satan in order to save evangelicalism. You do not justify endorsing something evil in order to accomplish what you believe to be something good. That's pragmatism, and we ain't about that, Evangelicals for Harris. On the other hand, you've got another group of individuals that The Atlantic is reporting on. Want to always be careful with this conversation because definitions, they're very broad. There is a correct form of patriotism in my view. I think that nations are God's idea. Just read a whiz-bang article in G3 that after the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, men were conspiring, hey, let's have a one-world religion. Let's toss God off of his throne. What did God do? Scattered. Sent them packing so that there's borders and there's different nations, there's different languages, and there's different governments. Because if we just had one government, if that leader were a stinker, and most leaders tend to waft in that direction, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble. So nations are a good idea. I think that it is good. I think it can be healthy that we enjoy the customs of our nation and like it. This is our country. This is where God has providentially placed us. And that can be a good thing. On the other hand, you can get out of balance wildly. And there's a particular group of individuals who I believe would fit on that end of the spectrum. And The Atlantic started talking about them. You may recall something happened on January 6th, a couple of years ago. Well, there was a mixed crowd at that particular event, but at that time, I recall commenting, I think that there's a particular stripe of evangelical there, because I'm sure that there were some evangelicals who just love their country. They wanted to do a good thing. They went to the rally. They didn't do anything illegal. They just went because they wanted to. And to them, I say, salute. But I think the majority of evangelicals there were represented by the group that The Atlantic is identifying. And again, not trying to block everybody together here, because I know there's varying shades of this. But they titled the article, "The Christian Radicals Are Coming," because they're tracking some events that have been organized and are hosted by Lance Wallnau. And he is one of the prophetic leaders of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And it's been my contention that many of the people that went to the rally that identified as evangelicals that had signs like that were too not very biblical, mixing it into the political realm, were of the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And this particular article focuses a lot on them, and I thought we would do well to know that this is what the NAR is producing, and this is what, if you simply like to put your hand on your heart, say the Pledge of Allegiance, sing the national anthem, you're getting lumped in with this group of people. You should know it. The recent event that this individual, Stephanie McCrewman, who is the author of this article, it's about 9 pages long, she attended an event in Eau Claire. 2,000 people attended a white tent on grass outside of a church in lovely Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It's a great little town. Got a nice university there. The speaker was Mario Murillo. Mario Murillo. I think his dad was a prosperity preacher, if I'm not mistaken. Nevertheless, quote, "We are going to prepare for war. I'm not on the earth to be blessed. I'm on the earth to be armed and dangerous." Now, if you're a progressive and you hear that language, how might you interpret it? Armed and dangerous? Thousands of people have attended the traveling event billed as the Courage Tour, including vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance, who is a special guest in Monroe, Pennsylvania. The series is a part of a steady drumbeat of violent rhetoric, prayer rallies, and marches coming out of the rising movement known as the New Apostolic Reformation, whose ultimate goal is not just Trump's reelection, but Christian dominion, a kingdom of God that is exercised through political power and conquering the seven mountains of dominion. Although Murillo headlined the Eau Claire event, the chief organizer is Prophet Lance Wolnau. Described a battle scene when he was his turn to speak from the film Gladiator. Taking place in the arena in ancient Rome, a group of enslaved warriors comes under attack. Maximus rallies them to join forces, at which point they decapitate, bludgeon, and defeat their enemies in a rather gruesome scene. Quote, "How many of you would like to be activated into your Maximus anointing?" What? People in the crowd cheered as he said, "Put your right hand up in the air to get your Maximus anointing." You know what verse that is, don't you, Jimmy? That's Russell Crowe, 14:7. I think he was Maximus, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
He set up a whiteboard and he drew seven mountains. Above them, he drew a stick figure representing Jesus looking down on the world. He explained that each mountain was a sphere of society, its education, business, government, etc. And that believers' job, our job, was to assert authority over each sphere. Let's remember, Jesus already has authority over each sphere. He will do as he sees fit. He is... It's not like he's making moves and he could be countered by Satan, but this reality that we inhabit, it's God's chessboard, and he's moving all the pieces exactly where he wants them for victory that he is going to achieve. It's already been predetermined. He's sovereign over these spheres. The point was not individual salvation, but societal reformation, the kingdom. He said Christians are called to be the head and not the tail. After 30 minutes, he led the crowd in a declaration. "Father, I am ready to be a part of a new move of God in the United States, and I will occupy the territory you give me for the glory of God." Another speaker, perhaps you saw him in Canada during the COVID business, Polish preacher, Artur Pawlowski. He also spoke, calling himself the Lion. He went on to speak that Christians have been too timid, too gentle, and too loving. I didn't know you could be too loving. I think you can be too sissified and gentle in the wrong way. Not in the right way, but in the wrong way. Can you be too timid? Sure. Too loving? I don't know that you can do that. "Here is what God is saying," he said. Now you're thinking he's going to quote the Bible, aren't you, Jimmy? No. "It's time to go after the villains. It's time to chase the wicked. The time has come for justice, and justice demands restitution." People cheered. "It's time to move into offense. You want to be promoted into the kingdom of God? Huh? How many of you would like to see Jesus face to face? Then..." Okay, wait a second. This is sloppy at best, really wildly heretical at worst. "If you want to see Jesus face to face, then you have to go into the fire, my friends. He always comes to the fire. He is the fire. He's in the fire. And in the fire, he sets you free." That's kind of weird, because I thought that the Son has set you free. "You are free indeed. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I didn't know that you had to become a political warrior in order to go to heaven. Another speaker said, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." "Everyone say warrior, warrior," the crowd repeated. Maurice Murillo said, "It's the job of every shepherd to get up in his pulpit and say to the people, we're going to prepare for war. I didn't pick a fight. They picked the fight." So, Jimmy, next time you preach, bring that. Tell Charlie to get on it. Promote war. They said amen, and then 2,000 Christian warriors headed into the Wisconsin evening. Among them, a young man, a local who'd attended all 4 days. He said he felt inspired. He said he wasn't sure exactly what he was supposed to do. Yeah, there's the problem right there. "But we have to do something. We have a role." And to that I say amen. Let's keep it in the political realm. Vote. get involved in politics as much as you determine the Lord wants you involved in politics. You go, girl or boy, not that it matters these days. Absolutely. Amen. But we're citizens of a greater kingdom. We love this country. We love Christ's kingdom infinitely more. A spiritual kingdom. He reigns in hearts, not capitals. And the only way that he dwells inside of a human being is through regeneration. When the gospel of sin and the perfect life of Jesus Christ, the sin that we have, the perfect life Jesus lived, the death that he died, the resurrection that was the receipt that God gives for the forgiveness of sins, that's our role. That's our preeminent role. Unfortunately, I'm afraid you and I are getting lumped in with the members of the NAR. Terrific. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.